Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us both clearly and powerfully this morning as we come to your word and mine the riches of you and who you are and what you've done for us by saving us in Jesus. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see your good gospel and your good work of saving us in Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Well, we all love a David and Goliath story. Everyone knows one, an underdog story where the little guy beats the giant, where an average legal admin takes down a billion-dollar corporate firm in court, where an unassuming tiny band of hobbits take down an empire of darkness, when a small startup company in 1984 begins to rival a huge computer giant in IBM, and his name was Apple, not so small anymore, and where a Queensland team, labelled the worst team ever, claimed an impossible State of Origin win in 2020. Well, we love to hear what we call a David and Goliath story. But let me ask you today, do you love the David and Goliath story? The original David and Goliath story, do you know it? Because as we read God's word today, I think it's much more than an underdog story. I actually think it's wrong to think of it as an underdog story because David isn't small here. He fights for God's name and fame. He trusts in God, and God isn't small, is he? He's big. You see, I think as we read today's passage, as we go through it, it's much bigger, better, and offers much more hope and victory than what any underdog story can motivate us, could ever give. Last week, if you remember, we were introduced to David, the incoming anointed king, God's choice, a king who values what God values. And we began to see in chapter 16 the awkwardness of two kings in play and seeing David contrasted with Saul. Well, today we get to find out more about David. We get to see David's heart that God sees and the David that God puts his trust in to choose him as king. And we all know it's such an iconic passage. It's possibly the most famous story in the Bible. It's one of the most loved Sunday school stories. It's a surprisingly long passage, longer than what Wendy thought. It's actually 58 verses, not 17 or 27. And we only tend to focus on three verses, 48 to 50, the actual battle that takes place between David and Goliath. And as we dive into this chapter today, I'd like to suggest that we're supposed to get what we're supposed to get out of David and Goliath is actually much worse than you think, but it's also better than what you can ever imagine. And we're going to build the picture of how this story shows David, Goliath, Israel, and the God that's behind all of this. If you have your Bibles open, it's great to follow on. Verse 1 to 3 introduces us to the scene. The Philistines, they're in Israel territory. They're really close to Philistine strongholds. The Philistines are on one side of the Valley of Elah. And Israel, they're on the other side of the valley. And this valley was super strategic because it was a key entry point from the Philistine lands to come into Israel and invade them. So it makes sense for the Philistines to occupy, to take this valley. In verse 4, we get introduced to the Philistine warrior. And there came out of the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. You can almost imagine reading this verse, a boxing commentator introducing the first contestant, Eye of the Tiger in the background, and Goliath, he comes out It could be his name, could be a nickname for a giant hero. And the story here goes to great lengths to detail this champion in Goliath. He's 3 meters tall. Verse 5, he's wearing a huge bronze helmet, full body armor, 57 kilos in weight. Verse 6 and 7, bronze shin guards with leather padding, a huge javelin, about 7 kilos heavy. That's a weaver's beam's weight, with a spear made of iron, a rare metal at the time, and a shield so heavy that some poor little guy had to carry it for him. You see, it's not just a mere description here. This passage, these verses, they're underlining that Goliath, he's intimidating, he's impressive, he strikes fear, he's impossible to take down. And Goliath challenges Israel in verse 8. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." You see, Goliath, he's throwing down the challenge. He's taunting Israel and ultimately defying the God of Israel. And he's putting slavery of each nation on the line. And you think at this point, this is Saul's time to shine. This is exactly why Israel chose Saul. He's the warrior king that they wanted, and he's going to step out, represent Israel, defend Israel and God. But this is what we get in verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You see, Israel and Saul, they looked at this impossible enemy in Goliath. And instead of trusting in God, they were afraid. They were dismayed. They were terrified. Now that we're introduced to Goliath, we don't really get to see much of him until the battle at the end. The scene turns to David and Israel. Got to go a bit quicker here. The camera moves in verse 12 to David in Bethlehem. And David, he's in Bethlehem. He's overlooked for this important battle. He's young. He had a part-time job in Saul's court, full-time job as a shepherd. Verse 16 reminds the reader that the impossible enemy is still there. Israel's still afraid and fear. And this is how David ends up in the battle line from verse 17. He's told by his dad to go there, not to fight. He's overlooked again, but to check on his brothers who are supposedly fighting. And he gets to the battle line. David, he hears Goliath. Goliath, he's mouthing off the same taunts as before, defiant against Israel, challenging Israel's God. And here's the contrast. Verse 11, Israel is afraid. Verse 24, Israel's still afraid. Israel shows no trust in their God, no trust in the king they wanted, and the king is nowhere to be seen anyway. Even Saul's offer to a victorious challenger, no taxes, and Saul's daughter, it fell to deaf ears. But David here, he's curious. He doesn't run away in fear. Verse 26, and David said to the man who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You see, instead of being afraid, David here, he's disgusted that this guy, this enemy, would defy his God, the one true God, the God of Israel. Israel responds by sight, without trust in God, forgetting the God who's constantly saved them, delivered them again and again and again. Israel's heart was faithless. Yet David, he responds by seeing the unseen, trusting in his God, remembering that God has constantly saved and delivered them. You see, David's heart was faithful to God. To skip through the next few verses, verse 28 to 30, Eliab, the older brother, the oldest one, he looks down on little boy David, the youngest one, highlighting again how overlooked David was. Verse 31 to 40, I think it's a pretty comical scene. Saul, the king, who's the one who should be fighting the battle, he's so passive, and he overlooks David too. David has to talk his way to challenge Goliath. And fair enough, little scrawny David against big bad Goliath with national slavery on the line, you got to figure out who's the best person to fight. Yet David's reply in verse 36 shows his trust in God. Have a look. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see, David's response shows how different he is here from Saul and Israel. He sees Goliath's defiance of God. He trusts in God's constant deliverance, that God saves, that God defeats what seem to be impossible enemies. And the comical bit here, Saul's dressing David. The current king is dressing the incoming king for battle. Even little David rejecting the armor because it's so heavy and clunky for him to fight. It's comical. And God's challenger here is ready. Young, lowly David, with his shepherd's staff in one hand and a slingshot in the other hand. Unimpressive by looks, but someone who in his heart trusted God, who wasn't put off by the impossible enemy, who was certain that God would indeed save. Well, as we keep going, some things haven't changed over the last 3,000 years, whether it's in professional boxing, state of origin, schoolyards, wars throughout history, even in women's basketball courts, fights almost always begin with the two parties trading taunts, talking smack to each other, things getting chippy, even happens in computer games. Ask me and Grant later. And that's what we see here as the lead up to the actual battle. Verse 41. David and Goliath, they meet in the valley. Verse 42, Goliath hates on David's youthful looks. And Goliath starts to smack talk. He says, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. I love a clever smack talk, but I think what Goliath brings here is pretty ordinary and low level. But he does show us here that this is an intensely spiritual battle. It's not just Goliath against David. It's this Philistine God behind Goliath defying Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of all. And if it wasn't clear already, David goes there in his reply. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And I'll give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. I suggest that these are the key verses of the chapter, not the battle itself. Look at David here. Look at his words. He points to God. God is the one who saves. God is the one whose power to bring victory. Swords, spears, javelins, armor are nothing before the Lord of hosts. There's no enemy that's impossible before God. You see, that's what David wanted the whole assembly to know, Philistines and Israel. Not that David is the hero, but God is. That he's the God of Israel, that he's the one who saves, and the battle is the Lord's. You see, David didn't want anyone to say, be like David. He wanted everyone to say, look at God. Look at the God who's working, who saves and delivers. And the rest is history, isn't it? When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a slingshot and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. We all know the story. Yes, it's an underdog victory on the externals. Big bad Goliath, or armored and weaponed up, is slow and sluggish. Or David is a little boy, he's agile. He slugs Goliath in the temple and chops his head off. But if we take it all into consideration, a fearful Israel cowering on the sidelines, impossible enemy in Goliath, and an unexpected deliverer in David, who trusts in a God, a mighty God who saves. You see, here in this story, we see God saving a helpless people against an impossible enemy through an unlikely deliverer in David. Well, normally at this point, many who teach from this chapter, they jump to their application. And it usually sounds like this: David's the hero, the underdog that takes out Goliath. And guess what? We are David. I'm David. You're David. What are the Goliaths in your life? God will give you victory over them. Just trust in God. Even throw your spiritual stones at them to slay your enemies. People giving you a hard time, sickness and health issues, impossible life situations, financial difficulty, relational tension, addictions, whatever opposition in life, be like David. It's a very likable application, isn't it? It's very warm, motivational. I heard this in Sunday school many times, both in Brisbane and across the ditch in New Zealand. But as we saw before, even David rejects this sort of application. It's not about him. It's about his God. So as we think about what this iconic story means for us, like I said at the start, on the one hand, it's worse than we think. On the other hand, it's better than what we can ever imagine. Firstly, our situation is worse than we think. Because you see, we're not David. We're not the hero in this scene. If we're to place ourselves anywhere in the story, we're probably the Israelites, afraid, fearful, looking at an impossible enemy. And the Goliath in our lives, it's much worse than we could ever think. It's one big Goliath, one big impossible enemy that the Bible calls sin, a hopeless battle on our own, impossible for us to overcome, sin being a rejection of God leading to death. You see, we're the ones on our own, afraid and overwhelmed at our impossible enemy of sin and death. You see, just like Israel, who are threatened with slavery, we, all of humanity, are under slavery to sin, threatened with death and judgment. You see, that's how the Bible shows our situation. We've got an impossible enemy, and we're in need of a savior. And secondly, the hope from the story is better than what we could ever imagine. You see, what we see here points to the good news, the best news of the Bible, better than victory over your day-to-day enemies in life. You see, God provides a deliverer for our impossible situation. Here in 1 Samuel, he saves through an unlikely deliverer, David, lowly, humble, yet full of faith in God, against an impossible situation of the enemy champion Goliath. And this points to God's biggest storyline, the story spanning from creation to new creation, saving humanity through another unlikely deliverer in Jesus, the Son of God, but also lowly, humble, yet full of faith in his Father. And like David, Jesus stood in our place, winning the battle that we could never win against the most impossible situation of sin and death and judgment for eternity. And you see, Jesus, he did this by dying on the cross, taking away our sins and defeating death as he rose into new life. We sung about this before, didn't we? Such a frail and lonely man holding up the heavy cross. See Jesus walking in Jerusalem on the road to save us. Jesus, he stood before the wrath of God, shielding sinners with his blood. You see, what Jesus achieves in defeating sin and death, the impossible enemy for us on our own, to win life forever with God, that's better than what any underdog or motivational story could ever give. It's the best news that we can get, that God saves a helpless people staring in the face of death against the greatest impossible enemy, and he saves us from death to life through an unlikely deliverer in God's greater Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Life forever instead of death is much better than any earthly victory. It lasts longer than any momentary win. It's more satisfying than any temporary triumph. And most importantly, seeing the story and how it points to Jesus' way, it puts God in his rightful place. You see, he's the true hero, not us. And Jesus is the one God uses, God's deliverer, God's savior, God's chosen hero and champion, the one who deserves all the praise and glory forever for winning life and salvation for you and me. I love how Nancy Guthrie summarizes this story in her kids' book, I See Jesus. She says, David went out to fight Goliath and defeated him by crushing his head with a stone. Because of David's victory, God's people did not become slaves to the Philistines. And in the shadow of David, I see Jesus, our champion, our hero. In his death and resurrection, Jesus crushed the head of Satan. Because of his victory, we're no longer slaves to sin and death. God saves a helpless people against the greatest impossible enemy in sin and death through an unlikely deliverer, God's greatest son, Jesus. And if this is what we're supposed to take from David and Goliath, what does it mean for you and me today? Well, I think today there's four types of people with four different tendencies that today's passage speaks into. And as we go through them, think about which group you're in and what God is saying to you today. The first type is that you forget. You live life, and your tendency is to forget, to be oblivious to the greatest enemy in sin. And you find yourself chasing the pleasures of the world, totally ignorant to the fact that your great enemy, your impossible enemy, is sin and eternal separation from God. Well, this is you today. Today's challenge is to remember instead of forgetting, to see clearly that your greatest enemy, your impossible enemy, is sin. You might forget or ignore it now. It might feel easier or more exciting to forget and ignore it now. But one day it's going to catch up on you. It catches up on everyone. One day we will all meet our Maker, who will either judge you for your sin or save you because of your trust in God's hero in Jesus. This is what Paul says to the Thessalonians about those who effectively ignore the impossible enemy of sin and death. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints. It's a bleak picture, isn't it? Forgetting that we have an impossible enemy in sin. So don't push it under the rug. Face the reality that you're staring at an impossible enemy in sin and death, and take hold of God's salvation in Jesus. Look to God's hero that he's given us in Christ. Maybe you're the second type. You fear. You live life overwhelmed by sin and its effects, whether it's guilt, helplessness, hopelessness of life. You firmly identify yourself with the Israelites, fearful, afraid, dismayed, and discouraged. Well, this is you. Today's encouragement is to look to your hero in Jesus. While it's good to feel your sin and fallenness, it's not meant to cripple or overwhelm you. It's supposed to drive you to fix your eyes on the hero that God provides in Jesus. So God's encouragement for you today is to fill your confidence with the reality that God has saved us. He's given us a hero to deliver us from our great enemy, and he's done that in Jesus. And for that encouragement to move you to praise Jesus, to be comforted by Jesus, to give thanks to Jesus, for fear to turn to joy in Jesus, your hero and deliverer. Paul says in Colossians 2:15 that God has disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Jesus on the cross. He's done this. He has victory. So if you're one who fears and is overwhelmed by sin, look to God's hero in Jesus. Because in Jesus, God has disarmed sin and death and all his enemies. And he's put them even to public shame. And he's done that on the cross. Maybe you're a third type. You fight yourself. You live life and you take up the challenge against sin yourself. To be good, to do good, to merit salvation, to work for salvation by your own power, or to find victory in life your own ways, through your own efforts and other things. Well, if this is you today, you know that it's an endless pursuit. You're probably weary, burdened. You're carrying the weight of saving yourself day by day. You're acting like you're the hero, that you're David. And God's challenge for you today is to see that you're not David. You're not the hero. You're not the one that is to deliver yourself. And to see that you're like one of the Israelites, staring at the impossible enemy that you can't challenge on your own, that you need Jesus. You see, God wants you to stop your endless and impossible fight, to look to God to save you from sin and death, to trust in his hero, his deliverer in Jesus, who has triumphed. Over that impossible enemy. And he's already won you life and salvation on the cross. Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He calls you to stop fighting yourself, to stop working yourself, and to trust him for your life and salvation, to find rest, comfort, and victory in God's hero in Jesus. Maybe you're the fourth type person. You're following Jesus faithfully. Well, God's encouragement for you today is to keep on going, to keep living confidently, holding on to Christ's victory over our greatest enemy, to keep seeing Jesus as your hero and deliverer, to delight in life and salvation won in God's hero in Jesus. And God's challenge today for you is to be determined to never turn away from your deliverer. Because you see, there's always temptations to forget our impossible enemy in sin, or to fear, to move to being overwhelmed by your hopelessness, or even to move to fighting yourself, to see yourself as the hero and work, merit salvation yourself. So God's challenge is to be determined to never turn away from God's deliverer, to keep trusting in him, holding on to Jesus who conquered what we could never conquer as he died and rose again, defeating death and offering life to all who trust in Jesus. Paul declares this to the Corinthians in light of God's victory over sin and death. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our hero, our deliverer, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Remember your reality in Jesus. Death is defeated in him, and God is victorious over the great and impossible enemy in Jesus. So keep standing firm in him and his salvation. Keep living and laboring for Jesus. You see, as we finish our time in God's word, let me ask you as we finish off, do you love the David and Goliath story? A story where God saves a helpless people in us from an impossible situation through an unlikely deliverer in Jesus. Jesus, who's God's hero, he's God's saving one. He saves us from death and slavery to sin, and he wins us life forever with God in his new creation. Do you love that David and Goliath story? Is this your story? Let's pray that we would trust in God's hero, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the God, the Lord of hosts, we see so clearly in your word that the battle belongs to you, that you defeat our impossible enemy, that you save your people, and you do this through your chosen hero in David over Goliath, and ultimately in David's greatest son, your son, Jesus, over sin and death on the cross. Father, help us to trust in your hero, your son, the great Savior, deliverer, and redeemer in Jesus. Father, we're prone to forget Jesus, to live overwhelmed by fear of sin, and to fight the battle of sin ourselves as if we are the hero. Father, please challenge, comfort, and encourage us by fixing our gaze on Jesus, the deliverer that you give, the hero that you've provided for us, the only one who can save us from sin and death, the only one who can truly grant us life forever with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.